All right, good evening. This is the Saturday night Bible study. I'm Johnny Coffey. This is Harmony Baptist Church. This evening, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 31, and I'm going to try to be as thorough as possible. There's a time limit on these things. And so tonight's lesson, it was supposed to be a bigger drawn out kind of lesson, but I'm going to simplify it. Where tonight we're going to be talking about virtue. So we're going to be in Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 31. Tonight's lesson is on virtue is a product of the fear of God. Virtue is a product of the fear of God. Let's look at verse 30. It says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Now look back on verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Well, what is virtue? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ." Now, virtue is moral excellence, valor, pure in thought and action. Virtue is a decision. You have to decide. You have to make a point to be virtuous. And it starts, 2 Peter says, it starts with your faith. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will cause you to be virtuous. Now, I know there are virtuously pure people, different religions or whatever. But you have to make a decision for that. And it goes through knowledge and temperance. Temperance is self-control. Okay, we talked about the self of control, the Holy Spirit being filled with the Spirit. One of the best things about and the indicators of being filled with the Spirit is the self-control. You ever had somebody say a nasty word to you? Maybe it's in church. A lot of times this happens in church. We have a bad habit of being in church and someone, we wouldn't say foul language. We wouldn't say things that other people would say, but we would say things that were disrespectful, talk down to people, that sort of thing. And it gets under your skin. Someone says something and you, to have self-control, to be filled with the Spirit, you have self-control. You don't lash out. Someone does something to you, you don't get vengeful. Okay? You understand that's a brother or sister in Christ. And they may have stepped out of line. But because you're filled with the Spirit, you're able to, and I'm not talking about pretending. I'm not talking about smiling and just biting your tongue and just walking off and being angry and hating that person. I'm talking about genuinely understanding that we're all sinners, saved by grace, and that there have been times in your life that you've done the same thing, and understanding that and moving on, okay? Patience, that's, you know, patience is hard. You know, if you want to learn about patience, read Job. That's difficult. Job had patience. And he learned patience. You have to experience. You know, a lot of these things, you can't. The Christian life is to be led. It's to be lived. It's not something, you can't read the Bible and learn doctrine and then be a good Christian. You have to read the Bible, learn doctrine, and live out that doctrine. Okay? And godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, which is unconditional love. Now, let's take these ideas and go back to Proverbs 31 and verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? A woman who has valor, chastity, and she's pure in thought and actions." okay? Pure in thought and actions. And this is not just, we're not just talking about sexual situations. We're not talking about that. A lot of time that comes up with chastity and moral excellence. But we're also talking about with how you think. Thinking bad about people, okay? Thinking bad things about people. They're always going to the negative of people. You know, as Christians, we should believe the best in people, especially about our brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? Wait until something bad happens. Wait till they've done something that causes you to have to deal with that situation instead of always waiting for something bad to happen, okay? Look in verse 10, 11. It says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he have no need of spoil. In other words, he doesn't have to look for another woman because he's got the best woman there is to have it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're married and God's giving you a wife or a husband, that's your best. If that's what you have, that's your best. That's what God's given you. Appreciate that, okay? And honor it, okay? Look in verse 12. She shall do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You notice that what she's saying, it's never talking about the husband. It's never going, well, you know, he's a good, godly husband. It never brings that up. It says she's a virtuous woman. Why is she a virtuous woman? Because she has a fear of the Lord. The thing she does, she is the person that she is. She's a good woman and she's a godly woman, not because she's married to a godly man, okay? Not because she goes to a godly church, okay? Not because she lives in a godly environment. She's a godly woman because she has the right relationship with a God that loves her. She has a fear of God. She knows who God is. She knows that she does not deserve. She's saved by grace. And she's living by grace. And she understands that she does not deserve anything but hell. That she's a wicked, evil sinner. She was born wicked, okay? In her, of herself, she is wicked. And all the good that is in her comes from her relationship with God. It's in Christ that she is a virtuous woman. And she understands that, okay? And that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the reason she does what she does. She doesn't do what she does simply because she loves her husband or she loves her children. She doesn't because she loves her Lord first, because he first loved her. And she never forgets that. Okay? She never forgets that. Look in verse 14, or verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is night and yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maid. She's working hard. She's not lazy. The woman is not lazy. She takes care of her home. Her kids do not wake up wondering when they're going to eat or if they're going to eat. They know 6 o'clock on the dot, mommy's going to be in the kitchen cooking or making it. She's going to have breakfast made by 6 o'clock or thereabouts because she has a routine. They're going to be fed. They're not going to go to school hungry. They're not going to wonder if they're going to get fed today. They're not going to wonder if mom's going to be in a good mood or not, or going to be in a bad mood. They're not worried about those things because she has purposed in her heart to honor her Lord and Savior. And she's, because she's purposed in her heart and she has the proper fear of the Lord, she's going to do the right thing regardless of whether the kids are in a good mood, regardless of where the husband gets out of bed, regardless of what happens that day. She is going to do the right thing because she's serving the God of the universe and she's not serving her husband and she's not serving her children. She's a child of the King and she never forgets that. Look in verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it with fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. She's an intelligent woman. God's given her wisdom. She spends time in God's word. Therefore, he's given her wisdom. She considers a field and buys it. Doesn't say that her husband buys it. We have this mentality, and I think a lot of times we grow up, and it's cultural, okay? Man makes the money, and the woman stays at home and cooks and cleans and that sort of thing. And if she doesn't do that, then she's liberal, and she's not spiritual because she's trying to be a woman of the world. The Bible nowhere teaches that. Okay, the Bible teaches that a woman works hard. She works out. You see here in verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She didn't go to the gym. I think there's a quote, you can apply it to that. She would go to a gym. But she did physical labor. Okay, she did physical labor to make sure her family was taken care of. Remember Ruth? Ruth had to work to take care of her mother-in-law. Widowed mother-in-law, and she went out to the field, and she gathered what was extra in the field. She worked. She was a working woman, okay? Took care of her home. This garbage about women not working and not going out in the home, not working in the carpet mills, not working in the factories to take care of her house, whether she's married or she's not married, that is not from the Bible. That's from our culture, okay? And I believe the Bible teaches clearly that the man is the head of the household. And he makes decisions, but he makes decisions with her wisdom involved, okay? I know there are people, maybe your husband's in a situation where maybe the wife has a career and she likes what she does. Maybe she's in a band and she likes music and she plays in a band. Maybe she's a lawyer or something and she enjoys her job and she's good at it and she makes more money than the husband, and it makes more sense for the husband to take care of the house and mow the lawn and do all those things, and he can do that and work a part-time or a job or something like that. Or maybe he's disabled and he has to stay at home. He's still the head of the household, but they just having to do different things to make the situation that they're in work. You can make that a godly situation. There's nothing in scripture that says the person who makes the most money is the head honcho. That is our carnal, fleshly interpretation of the scriptures. That is not Bible. The Bible says man is the head of the household, and whatever situation you have to work in to make your household work, depending on your culture or your environment and things, you may have to do things backwards as far as, you know, the man's a better cook, let him cook, okay? All right, if he enjoys cooking and he's good at it, maybe he's a chef, let him do it, let him cook. If the wife works a job, she's enjoying it, she's making plenty of money, and she can come home and she's like, I got this paycheck and I love going to work, and my husband, he cooks and cleans and whatever the situation. Do not let cultural standards and people's prejudice ruin a godly home. You can serve the Lord and do the right thing and have biblical standards and not have to fit a mold that we've created in society. Okay? She worked. All right? And she's not lazy. You notice this talking about the virtuous woman, the godly woman, the spiritual woman. And you know that ever since we've been reading this scripture, the only thing it's talked about is her working, her doing this, her making that. Look in verse 19. It says, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. That's, she's making fabric, okay, clothes, whatever. This is hard work. I've seen this in museums and how it works, and I've seen it in movies. It is hardcore. It is not lazy. She's got muscles to do this, to endure working that machinery and pedaling, pushing that pedal and making it move so that she can weave and all that stuff. That's not hard. That's not a weak woman, okay? That is not some skinny little girl, okay? That's, you know, this is not, you know, it's not like Cinderella and stuff. This is a woman who is working hard for her family, okay? And there's a lot of women in our churches today that are doing good jobs and they need help. They're working, maybe they have a salon, maybe they work as a school teacher or whatever, and they're trying to take care of kids, and the husband's working, and both of them are working, they're trying to do something. Work together. What does Ephesians 5:21 say? Ephesians 5:21 says, before you ever get to wives submit to their husbands, it says, submit ye one to another. Until both, as Christians, until a husband and wife submit to one another under Jesus Christ and say, we're going to do this together, then the man cannot be in the position that he's supposed to be as leader and the wife as a helper who is fit or meet for him. Okay? They cannot be put in their proper roles until they first submit equally under Jesus Christ, where they should be. And that will keep pride and manipulation out of your relationship, because if you're both focused on pleasing Jesus Christ, then when the other person fails to respect you, when the other person fails to show you love, when the other person fails to do their part, you won't try to manipulate the situation. You won't get bitter and angry, because your focus is on pleasing God. And if you keep focusing, you know, that's the reason the Apostle Paul, when he got to the end of his life, he was able to say, he was like, everyone has left me, other than Luke, everyone's left me. All these churches I started, all these people I won to Christ, they've left and forsaken me. But do you realize that Paul still had joy? You know why he had joy? Because he knew that when he died, he knew that he was going to finish his race. He's like, I've accomplished what Jesus Christ put me on the planet for. I'm doing what God's told me to do. He can lay down and rest his eyes. He's like, I'm ready to meet my Lord and Savior. And all that stuff, all that hurt, all that, he didn't hold on to that. He just made a statement that this is what happened. This is a matter-of-fact statement. But I am serving Jesus Christ, okay? I know a lot of churches of, leadership takes advantage of people at times. It's just human nature, guys. We all do it. I mean, I've sat in the past and just got mad because, I felt like I was doing everything. I was teaching here and preaching here and doing children's church and doing this other ministry and doing blah, blah, blah. And then these other people and I'm working 12, 16-hour shifts and I can barely see straight. And, it got to the point where I was having blackouts and stuff because I was pushing myself too far. And here I was showing up at visitation. I could barely see straight. I could barely think, and I was drinking 3-4 energy drinks a day to try to serve God, and I should have used some wisdom and backed off and let people just talk. But I remember being angry at people because they didn't do those things. They worked their 8 hours and then they come once a month to visitation and they did their thing. And then I was just like, well, why do they do it? And it was just pride. That's all it was. It was just pride. I should have done what I should have done and took care of myself and take care of my family and, let people do what they say and do what they do. And it, because I stopped serving the Lord Jesus Christ and I was trying to measure up to people's expectations of what I was supposed to be as a Christian. And once you've done that, you've done ruined. That's the reason we don't have joy in the house of God, because we're so worried about other people. We should be worried about Jesus Christ. We should go to God in prayer. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? Okay, I want to volunteer. I want to do this. I want to be. And if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what he's telling you to do, okay, and there are limitations, there are certain things I can't do, whatever. If you know that you're doing exactly what Jesus Christ has called you to do, and you're accomplishing that, and you have your eyes on Jesus, then when someone criticizes you the way you're doing it or what you're not doing or whatever, it'll be like water off a duck's back. Because, yes, it will hurt, but then you'll be like, it doesn't matter. I'm serving Jesus, you know. I'll just pray for that person and move on, you know. And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do to have joy in your life. Excuse me. It says, she is not afraid. Oh, in verse 20, it says, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Why does she do that? She's able to do that because she works and she has to give. She has to give. What does the Bible say? It says, don't do the letter of the law, right? Don't just do a percentage. Give by grace. Give by grace. And it's not talking about money, just money. It's talking about everything. Give by grace. You know, work hard so that you have enough to take care of your family and to give to the needy. And the more you give to the needy, okay, whether it's missions, whether it's a homeless shelter, whether it's whatever, Goodwill. I don't care what you want to put in that box. Whatever it is, the more you give to those in need, the more the Lord will give you for the things you need. In other words, you won't stress so much about what you're, because God's like, okay, I know if I take care of his house bill payment and his car payment and his whatever, and he gets the extra money, he won't spend the extra money on drugs and alcohol and premarital sex or adultery or whatever, pornography, whatever you want to put in that category. He will take that extra money and he will put that towards missions, or he'll put that toward helping somebody in the church. You know, just simply giving somebody a $20 bill because God told you to, because you knew that person, you're like, well, whatever. You know, maybe that person needs extra money. Maybe they didn't get paid this week, you know. And right now is a good time. People always are in need, especially at this time of the year, okay, and what's going on in our life, all right? She has that to give, but she in 21, it says she is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. You know, bright colors were a thing back in those days. That's the reason it talks about kings only wearing purple. Because purple is very expensive. Okay, it's extremely expensive. All right, so when you talk, read about that, colors, especially bright colors like scarlet and purple and those things, it was because somebody put money. But she had those things. She had her house took care of. Her kids were well-dressed. Her husband was well-dressed. She is not, in verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. See, she's doing her best to make sure her home is well taken care of. She's doing this. Why is she doing these things? Why is she doing this? So, because she has a great guy. The Bible says nothing about her having a great man. It doesn't say anything about her having a spiritual man. It doesn't say anything about her children being exceptionally great children. She's doing it because she fears the Lord. It says she fears the Lord. Verse 30. But she fears the Lord. She has a proper understanding who the God of the universe is and her place in his life. She understands who she is, that she's dust of the earth, and that any good that she does, any good that she thinks, any good that comes to her, comes from her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She understands these things, okay? That's the reason she does. She gets up. She gets up because it's the right thing. She knows it'll please her Lord and Savior for her to get up and take care of her family, for her to give to the poor. She understands that her relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and him, that it will make him happy and fill him with joy to see her doing her utmost best, not for her family, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's her focus. And because he is her focus, what does the Bible say? It says, what is the first commandment in the law? Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You cannot love your neighbor without loving God first. But when you love God, you ultimately make him Lord of your life, and he's everything for you. His love for humanity will spread out. The Holy Spirit will bring that love of God, and the love God has for humanity will pour out and shine forth under other people, and other people will experience it, okay? That's shining the light of Christ. It's not just getting up and telling people the gospel. Shining the light of Christ is shining who Christ is through you, through your works, okay? That's what the Bible says about work out your own salvation. In other words, take your salvation and make it work out in real life, okay? It says, and that's what she's doing. She's starting with her family, and it's going out into her community, all right? And it says in verse 23, her husband is known at the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, in Jerusalem, they had gates. The front gates was where you did public business and that sort of thing. And that's where people knew you. And you know, you went and you had to talk about something serious. You talked to the elders at the gate. And so they knew him. It doesn't say anything about them knowing him and having respect for him for who he is. They knew him because he had a godly woman. His godly woman was working. She was helping people in the community. And they were like, there's no way that a woman that great and that wonderful wouldn't be with a man that is great and wonderful. Okay? She made him look better. Do you understand that? She didn't cut him down in public. She didn't make jokes about him in public. She didn't talk about how he doesn't measure up as a husband or doesn't measure up as a man. Why? No. That wouldn't please the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere would that please the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, husbands love wives submit to your husbands, and husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church. Okay? And it also says in Ephesians chapter 5 that the wives are to love their the husband is to love their wives as Christ loved the church. But it also says wives are to respect their husband. You ever wonder why it says respect and it doesn't have say love? I've mentioned this before. But because no man on this planet understands love without respect. In other words, you're never going to show your husband how much you love him more, ever, ever more than when you show him respect, especially in front of people. I'm going to tell you something. You show him respect and you don't let people talk about him. You don't let people undercut him, undermine him. You don't let your girlfriends make jokes about your husband. Like serious jokes about your husband. You respect your husband. When you show your husband respect, there is nothing on this planet that is going to make him feel more loved than that. Look in verse 24. It says, she maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. Look at it. Strength and honor. Okay? And she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now understand something. She knows wisdom because she studies the word of God. She knows the Lord. God's given her wisdom. She prays. She's a God-fearing woman. That's why she has wisdom. But she does not use her wisdom to hurt people. She uses her wisdom in kindness. She is kind to people. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She is not lazy. All through this, it's talking about the virtuous woman. All through this passage, it's talking about her works, her works, her works, her works, her works, her works. That's how she demonstrates her virtue. What's in here will be demonstrated with what we do, okay? It says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. How could you not? You have a good woman. She's working hard. She's taking care of business. She's feeding the home. She's taking care of she's working in the community. She's a good woman. Take care of her, okay? If you have a wife, take care of her. Quit manipulating her. Quit taking advantage of her, okay? Quit coming through the door after a 8-hour shift. That just kills me when people say 8-hour shifts. I'm like, really? That's only 8 hours out of 24? And you can't, and you come home feeling like you're acting like you're killed yourself. Are you serious? We did that when work was slow. We worked 8 hours, you know, in a carpet mill. It's like 105 degrees in a carpet mill, you know, and you're working nasty dirt, filth, and you can't stop. You can't, I don't care how bad you hurt. I don't care how tired you are. You cannot stop. Because there's a machine running and you have to keep working. You have to keep rolling carpet. You have to keep grabbing rolls of carpet. You got to keep up with this person and you can't stop. I've went to work 12-hour shifts with a migraine and I couldn't hardly open my eyes and just, I barely kept them open to work. And then I would sit in the floor and sometimes I would cry because my migraine hurt so bad, but I had to work. I didn't have a choice, you know? It says she works. Give her a break, you know? Cook her dinner. Take out the garbage. Wash dishes. I don't care how tired you are. It's not going to hurt to help someone. If you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ and your focus is on pleasing Him, then you'll do the right thing. Regardless. You understand that all this stuff she does, and there's no, well, she feels good. She had a good day. Okay? That's not the virtuous woman. Okay? The virtuous woman, the kids don't have to worry about mom being in a mood. They don't have to worry about mom being bummed out today, so she's not going to cook. Or I got to be on, walk on eggshells. Nothing worse than being in a home where you have to walk on eggshells, worried that somebody's going to flip out, they're going to throw something at you, they're going to do something. The virtuous woman is consistent. She doesn't let her feelings dictate how she treats people. She treats people fairly and godly as much as she can. Okay, and it starts with her home and her family. Her children, her many daughters, verse 29, have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Because it goes away. And, you know, in this generation, we have plastic surgery and stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. I have never seen someone who gets plastic surgery and look better than they would if they had just aged with wrinkles. You know? I don't know where we get this idea that because you have wrinkles, you're not attractive. Because I've seen some very beautiful women my age that had wrinkles and they were more beautiful than the girl than the 60-year-old, 50-year-old, 40-year-old that had plastic surgery. Wrinkles do not make you unattractive. We need to quit having that mindset. That's the media and society pushing that, okay? Wrinkles do not make you unattractive, ladies, okay? So do not believe that lie, okay? And you being older does not make you unattractive, okay? We need to get that age thing out, okay? Age does not make you unattractive, okay? You are who you are. Now, drugs and alcohol can make you unattractive, you know? They can wither your face and all kinds of things. Those drugs and alcohol, smoking's the worst. It'll make you face draw up like a prune. Doing those negative things. It's not the age that causes people problems. It's usually because they've abused their body and it shows. And believe me, I know this coming from an ex-drug addict, you know, during the 90s. Luckily, I shot up. One of the things that benefited me was because I was an extremist. I did everything to excess. So I got into drugs and when I was like 19 years old, and from 19 to I was 27, it came and went. Okay. So I did like this spurt between 94 and 96. For 2 years, I did this enormous amount of drugs. And then I became a Christian, and for 6 years I struggled with the drugs and alcohol, but I didn't do it that much. So that was a that thing that helped me out a lot. So I was, because of my excess, I burnt myself out very quickly. So I didn't do drugs for 20 years. You know what I mean? And I quit smoking in 1996, June 21st at 8 p.m. to be exact, and I never touched another cigarette. By the grace of God, the Holy Spirit helped me with that. That's something. My kids, but neither one of my kids have ever seen me do drugs, drink, or smoke a cigarette. And I praise the Lord Jesus Christ for that. And my son just recently told me that, he said, that's one of the things, he says, out of everything about me, he said, the thing that he loves about being at my home and being with me is, he says, no matter what happens, no matter what crazy thing happens, he says, I know that if I showed up at your house 3 o'clock in the morning or anything, he said, I know that you would be sober. He said, Dad, that means a lot to me. And you talk about made my day. That super made my day. Look in verse 31. It says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Look real quick to James chapter 2, and I want to show you a parallel to this. James chapter 2, real quickly, all right, because I want to sum this up, all right? And I know I commented, I didn't have an outline, because honestly, I just felt like that if I did an outline, it wasn't going to, I was going to get confused. James chapter 2. In verse 14, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If your brother or sister be naked or ill-clad, the King James naked means that they're not properly dressed. They don't have clothes to keep them warm. It doesn't mean that they're without clothes. And destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? What does it profit if I have faith that God's going to supply your need? And then I slam the door in your face and move on. That's pretty hardcore. It says in 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me that faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The virtuous woman, who can find her? Who can find the virtuous woman? Would you just find the woman that's doing virtuous works? And you'll find a virtuous woman. Good night.